Good morning, Game Changers, and welcome to the Freedom Series live stream session this morning. Today, I've got Michelle Tillis-Lederman. Now, Michelle is one of Forbes' top 25 network experts. She's an author of four books, including the international known The 11 Laws of Likeability, and her latest, The Connector's Advantage. Michelle is a connection creator and a CEO of Executive Essentials, which provides customized communications and leadership programs for Fortune 500s, nonprofits, universities, and government clients. A former financial executive and NYU professor, Michelle is regularly in the media, including NBC, CBS, Fox, NPR, The Wall Street Journal, New York Times, CNBC, and others. Michelle is known for helping people work better together and advance their individual impact. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
There was a lot of N's and B's and C's and things like that in your bio there. Bit tongue-tied early in the morning. So, Michelle, like, where did this all start for you?
Well, there's one other set of letters, which is CPA, which is really where it started. Now, my mom will tell you that stands for Certified Pain in the Assets. But I was actually in accounting and finance for the first decade of my career. And that's really where it started.
Wow. Quite a
significant... I know. I'm looking at your face like, what?
Quite a significant shift.
Yeah. It started with I was managing money for a bank. Yeah. And I was investing the money. And so people would come and they'd pitch. And I'm sitting across from them going, that's not how you pitch. This is, watch my body language. I flip the page. So the communication with potential, investment, as well as with everybody, I was the only woman on the trading floor. This is where I started to see the need. And that's kind of where the transition began. But I started doing it within the bank. And that started the leap. My first client outside of the bank was J.P. Morgan.
Wow.
Not a bad first client, right?
Fantastic first client. And what specifically did they hire you for at that point in time? Like, what was the need that you were fulfilling?
My first gig was business writing for sales and trading professionals.
Wow.
And it was just create a custom course for people who had been out of school about 3 to 5 years. And we really customized it with cases and scenarios that were exactly what they deal with. And from there, I landed Morgan Stanley and Deutsche Bank were three of my first five clients. When you're a recovering CPA.
No, I was just going to say, where do you go from there?
You get repeat business, yeah. Right? And that's what it's all about is the relationship-based business building. I had someone who was in my class at Morgan Stanley. Remember, this is one of my first ever clients. She was a student in my class there. She is still a client today, almost 15 years later.
Wow.
And she's brought me with her I saw her again at Citibank, where I was doing training for months. Then she went to Comcast, tried to bring me in. She went to Madison Square Garden. I did tons of work for them there. She went to Cox Communications. I did work for her there. And now she's at A&E Networks, and I'm probably going to do work for her there because the relationship is what, kept that client. It didn't matter where it was who it was.
Yeah. And you really practice what you preach. And I want to dive down deeper on that. Before we do, though, I just want to say welcome, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone who's joining us live today on any of the platforms on the interwebs right now. Rafi from my team is kind of overseeing all the different chat comments. So if you've got any questions, please fill us with as many questions as you can. We'd love this to be as interactive as possible. And really can do three things. First is just like the post wherever you're seeing this, just to let us know you're watching. Number two is, keep the questions coming in. So myself and Michelle are going to answer for you guys today. And number three, start a watch party, because I think what we're about to talk about is going to be hot and very, very impactful for a lot of business owners, especially in today's time. So retention rates are a very interesting question because, we get to meet a lot of business owners. And, most of the time you say, oh, what's your problem? And it's one or two things. Either A, I haven't got time, or B, I haven't got enough customers. And therefore, not enough customers means I need more leads. And we have a tool and a process called the profit plan that we take clients through. And we find out that 95% of the time, more leads is not what they need.
It isn't about the lead. I mean, it's kind of like dialing for dollars. It's chasing. I have never done a cold call.
Yeah.
I've been in business, I'm pushing 20 years and I've never done a cold call. Because, you have people reach out to you on LinkedIn all the time. I'll get you leads.
Yeah.
What you need is raving fans.
Yes.
you need is repeat customers. What you need is warm referrals, because people are four times more likely to buy when referred by somebody they trust. Mm. And those reviews, that's a habit. Everyone out there listening right now, if you've got a business and you've had a good exchange with a client, ask for that referral, ask for that review, because 92% of people trust those reviews. I mean, we all do it. We go on Amazon and we look at the product and we look at all the reviews. If you go to my LinkedIn profile, you will see over 100 recommendations, because if somebody reaches out to me saying, I love your talk, I love your program, I said, that's great. Would you be open or comfortable to do a review? And I make it comfortable for them to say no, and many people don't follow through, and that's fine. But enough people do.
Mm. Yeah, we had Mike McAllowitz on the show yesterday morning, who's he was talking about, you know, that every transaction we should be making profit in. And we also talked a lot about behavioral patterning and how it's much easier to insert something into what we're already doing rather than creating something new. So for him, he talked about the example of, like, he hasn't missed a workout for 5 years because his gym shoes are in the way of the bathroom. So in order for him to get to the bathroom in the morning, he has to pick up his gym shoes. He's like, well, I've got them in my hands now. I'll put them on. Let's go to the gym. I see what you're talking about here is being such a small, tiny step, but I've seen it grow companies very, very fast and very, very profitably. Baking in, asking for reviews, asking for referrals. Like, we ask often for referrals the moment a sales transaction is done. And people say, but how can you ask for a referral when you haven't even delivered the service yet? And the question is simply, well, we've delivered enough value. They trust us enough to do business with us. Therefore, like, we find one in three people trust us enough to give a referral at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. And you hit on a key word, and that's trust. And in the Connectors Advantage, I talk about the seven mindsets. And one of those mindsets is trust. Mm-hmm. We need to build trust. And that's what those reviews on a platform does, especially a platform that it has to come. You know, it's not like a fake thing I put on my website. It is somebody else had to put it up there for it to be connected to your profile. So there is that level of trust. And if over 100 people have said great things about you, then there is that familiarity and that association, and it's lower risk.
Yeah.
So trust is everything when it comes to business.
I find it kind of like, maybe not the best analogy, but it wears people down as well, in a good way. Like, you have a lot of people, especially in the business coaching space, that are skeptical. Like, in the Australian marketplace, very different to the US, there's been a lot of people that have done the wrong things. People entrusted them with their money and their business to help them grow, and they just haven't achieved the results. So therefore, it seems to be quite skeptical here. Whereas if you have, like, testimony after testimony after testimony, review after review after review that you're sharing across social media, it gets to the point where people are like, damn, like, these guys must be good at what they do. Right. You also look too, the way that we make decisions now. You know, many, many years ago, they said that we would take like 3 points of contact to make a decision, a buying decision. Whereas now, like, I've heard rumors, it's north of 30. And this is where reviews can be baked into that sales process or client journey as well, to essentially provide them different angles of experiences that they expect to get once they do a business with a company.
Well, so that's the law of familiarity, that 30, you know, points of contact. And I'll tell you a story. Back when I was starting out, I was still working on the trading floor, and the guy who was two, you know, desks down from me went to Deutsche Bank. And, you know, he left the floor, went to Deutsche Bank, and I was kind of starting my business on the side, and I was doing a little of this work. And I said, you know, hey, could you introduce me to anybody there? And he did, and I got no response. And then I had somebody else who, I don't remember where or how, but they introduced me to somebody there. I got no response. Two warm leads, nothing, crickets. I'm up at Columbia Business School. It's where I went to school. And I'm in the recruiter's lounge and I'm chatting because that's what you do. And he works at Deutsche Bank. And I said, you know, I have been meaning to connect with somebody from there. Who do you suggest? Says the same name. I was like, oh, great. And he takes his card out, writes her name on the back. And I say, is it okay if I mentioned your name? And he said, absolutely. Try again, give another name. And I got a call back in 5 minutes saying, Michelle, I've been hearing your name all over the place. We have to have you in. That's how I landed Deutsche Bank, because it's that familiarity of, I'm hearing her name from so many different sources. There's something credible here.
Yeah. It's so funny. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a client 2 years ago. They were trying to get their coffee beans into a particular cafe in Byron Bay in Sydney. I said to him, I was like, dude, why don't you just pay a bunch of backpackers or local people to go in there and ask for your coffee beans and do that for a 2-week period of time and then go in there and say, oh, hey, like, I'm just curious. Are you guys looking for a new coffee distributor? Here's my beans. Similar thing, a little bit different way of going about it, but creates a desire, creates a curiosity around, like, who's this Michelle woman? Like, and what is, I've heard from three people, but it took the three people for that law of familiarity to work in place.
And you know what? That tactic can work so broadly because, you know, with my books, people are like, well, where can I get your book? I said, well, you know what? Walk into your local bookstore and ask for it. They'll order it for you. And then maybe they'll continue to carry it. And so I always say, go to your local bookstore, go to your small bookseller, or go to your large bookseller. I don't care. But go to the desk and ask for it because then they put it into the computer and the computer says, oh, this book keeps getting, maybe we should put this in our order.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Good advice too. I just published my first book and been thinking some different ways to get it out there. If you're watching live, thanks so much for being here. Please post your questions below. My team will feed them through. I've got a question here from Kathy from Brisbane. I have Michelle's 11 Laws book. If she could select the top three most important for a young entrepreneur, what would she pick?
I love that she didn't just say one because I always have a problem with one. And don't let me forget to circle back to book ideas for you and marketing and another mindset of a connector because I wanted to jump all over that. Tell me, this is Kathy from Brisbane?
Yeah, Kathy from Brisbane, yeah.
So Kathy, the two that I always mention and they go hand in hand are the law of giving and the law of authenticity. And then we can think about a third one. But the idea of authenticity is I can't connect with you unless I'm being me and you're being you. So if we don't have that reality in our interaction, no connection is really going to form and certainly not trust. So authenticity is really the thread and the foundation of everything. And that's authenticity of your business, of your brand, of your interactions. And then the law of giving is, for me, that's the chapter I give away. I'm sure you put lots of links somewhere in this page on social media somewhere, but I give away this chapter because I think it's so vital. You know, we have this, and in the Connectors Managers, I talk about it as the mindset of a generous spirit. When you have a generous spirit, when you give because you can, because you want to, without expectation of something in return, the desire of somebody else to stay connected with you is really what binds. So when you just said to me, you know, I'm thinking about ways to market my book, I want to dive in and say, oh, here's some ideas and here's things we can do and let me help you, because that's the mindset of how can I add value to somebody else? And when you do that, that forms more connection points. And the more connection points you have, the more times you connect, the more familiar, the more similar, the more connected, the deeper that relationship goes and the longer it lasts. Mm. So those are my top two of always. The other one I would say depends on where you are in your business and where you are in your skill set. So if you're somebody who, you know, I do a lot of work with introverts. If you really struggle with that outreach, then maybe curiosity is a really good law for you to focus on. Being able to think about what you're willing to share of yourself, what you're willing to ask of others, and to get into what I call that dance, this anatomy of a conversation. You know, maybe your perception of self, maybe you need to work on a self-image. So it really does depend on where you are.
Yeah. Michelle, I absolutely love what you just shared. And I want to go deeper on the first one we spoke about. Before we do, if you guys are watching live, please start a watch party. Share more about this amazing conversation with those out there as well. So you talk about the law of authenticity, and I was almost welling up hearing you share this because this is something very, very close to my heart. I've never seen it as the law of authenticity. But what I've noticed in my own journey, Michelle, is over the last few years, the more and more that I've become me and more I've learned to love all aspects of me, you know, the perceived good parts and the perceived bad parts and the parts that don't fit the social norms, the more that I can be completely okay with being all of me, the more I've noticed every area of my life flourish. Like the people that I'm attracting in my personal relationships, my finances, my spirituality, like everything has gone to a new level. And I believe it comes back to, I wouldn't so much say authenticity, although I can see that's a beautifully fitting word for it. I'd say more vulnerability. Vulnerability to show up as all of me. Can we talk a bit more about, I guess, the human behavior behind that?
You're bringing me to so many different places right now. So don't let me forget to come back to vulnerability. And also, Kathy, thank you so much for the question and for getting the book. And if you have time to post an honest review, it is greatly appreciated.
I love that.
Okay, so Authenticity. So the Likeability was my first book, and The Connector's Advantage is my most recent, and it builds on likability. So you kind of hear me talk about laws and mindsets. So I really want to take the mindset of being open and accepting, because something that you just said is so important for everyone out there is when we are open and accepting, we think about being open to others and accepting of others, but we need to be open and accepting of ourselves as well. So I always talk about accepting of self and open to being wrong, because our brains quickly take in all this information, right? Right now, people are out there, you might have never heard of me, never seen me, and they're like, okay, she talks a lot with her hands, you know, or she's a lot, whatever it might be. That's that impression. And you decide very quickly, and then you look for additional information to prove yourself right, because we like to prove ourselves right.
Yeah.
That's fine. As long as you stay open to being wrong. Yeah. And there's four questions that I give.
Damn.
And if you're listening and this is a challenge for you, grab a pen, because you're going to want these four questions. If you want to stay open to being wrong, what you want to do is slow your thinking down and stay in place of curiosity instead of conclusion. So ask yourself any of these questions. You don't have to ask all of them. One, what don't I know? What don't I know about the situation? What don't I know about the person? What don't I know? Two, how else could I interpret that? Or what could be another reason for that, right? How else can I interpret that behavior? Or what could be another reason for that action, except for the judgment that I just made, right? Number three, what if I'm wrong? What's the impact on my business? What's the impact on my client? What's the impact on my relationship? And number four, am I trying to be right? And that's the real stickler, right? Because we like to be right. And there's times where I'm like, oh man, all right, I'm trying to be right. Let me let that go. And that opens us to possibilities of other interpretations and other experiences. And when you stay open to being wrong, and when you assume positive intent, the interaction changes completely. So that was one thing that you said that like just...
I'm going to just intervene. I'm loving this conversation. I just say there was a fantastic live stream I had a few days ago. Maybe Rafa can put the link in here as well. Michelle Masters, who was one of my original kind of change work NLP teachers, and she talks about like right and wrong not existing, and it's our perception and so forth. I had a conversation yesterday with a team member that had some performance anxiety. Let's just say that, and had a conversation. And they mentioned that they were trying to like find ways to like pat themselves on the back, essentially, to motivate themselves to get back in the groove. And I was like, why would you do that? And they're like, well, to get my mindset back. And I was like, yeah. I was like, but do you realize you're not owning the experience that's presenting itself for you right now? You know, and I see that a lot as human beings, we try to avoid what we deem as painful. But I also feel that it's there for a reason. It's there showing us something. And the more that we can actually lean into that, the less power it has over us. And I was like, I can share this with you because I've been there, and I was there for years. Every time something happened that I didn't enjoy or was painful, I would find a way to pep myself up, pull myself out of it. But I was never addressing what it was coming up for. I was like, the moment that I made a decision to actually lean into it, sit into it, and ask myself questions. And it's the thing, I think we're so quick to like, right, next, move on, do more. Like, what's the next action? But to actually sit in the questions, to sit in the unknown and ask ourselves those challenging questions, then we can get the breakthrough that it's there for. Then we can resolve whatever it's there for and move forth, I think, more whole, more authentically, more vulnerability.
And so you're kind of coming to the other side of it, which is the accepting part. And there's something that I call unique charms. So a unique charm is a quality about yourself that isn't going to change. It's part of who you are. It's part of your DNA, but it doesn't always work for you. And like everyone who's out there right now is thinking about, oh yeah, I got that.
Yeah. Yep. Guilty.
Right. So one of the ones that I share often, because it's kind of obvious, is that I can be a lot. I can talk a lot. I always joke that my husband and I were friends for a good year and a half before he asked me out because I didn't shut up long enough for him to get a word in. So I'm never going to be a quiet girl, and I accept that about myself. Yeah. But accepting our unique charms doesn't mean I'm a jerk. I accept that. That's my authentic self. I'm a jerk. It doesn't give you permission to be that. It gives you permission to accept and learn when and how to flex it.
Yeah.
And so that brings us to vulnerability.
Yeah.
So vulnerability is one of the pillars of trust. There's four pillars of trust. And I always say you have to give trust to get trust. And whether that's in a business relationship or a personal one, just by sharing information, you are trusting somebody. When you are giving something personal about yourself, you're trusting somebody with that information. It doesn't have to be your deep, dark secrets. But especially for those people who might struggle with this, you know, think about those things you might be willing to share, because that makes somebody feel trusted. And that makes them want to give trust. So authenticity, we've already talked about, first pillar of trust. Vulnerability is the second. I will admit, this is not one of my favorite words. it took me a really long time to accept that vulnerability was not about showing weakness, because I'm 4'10" and I had to be tough, you know, and, you know, come off like big because I was so little. Vulnerability is about openness. The idea of sharing a flaw or a mistake or a weakness or something with somebody else to enable them to learn from it, to teach, to feel better about their own. That is a gift to somebody else.
Yeah.
So I love that you mentioned that. So you've heard all four of them. Transparency and consistency are the other pillars of trust.
Yeah. There is so much strength in vulnerability. And I think there's just such a huge misconception, especially for men, around what vulnerability is. But for me, like, there's a sense of liberation in that. Like, when you can be completely open and allow all parts of you to be seen by those around you, it's like nothing, it feels like nothing has a hold of you anymore. It's like that voice in your head. It's like, you shouldn't be like that. You shouldn't do that. It's like you're freer and more liberated to express all of who you are. And coming back to kind of where this conversation started, I think that you can attract your tribe. Like, I see many business owners that are trying to be a certain way and trying to act a certain way and even trying to potentially follow their competition, wondering why the business is not successful. And it's because they're not showing up in their own unique gifts. And the moment they start to merge with that and move towards that, it's like all of a sudden these ideal clients show up, these ideal staff members show up. It's like your culture, your company will never be my culture, my company, even though we might have the same values, because I'm not you and you're not me. And then I think the sooner that we can learn to kind of own all aspects of us, and as you said, like not just submit to like, I'm a jerk and that's the way that I am, but no, like sit in those questions, I think the faster our business can grow and the more fulfilling our life can be as well. We've got another question here from Kathy again. And if you are watching live, welcome. Please hit the like button. Let us know that you're there and post any questions you've got in the comments below. Actually, I'm an introvert who needs more work to be an effective networker. So many questions, but how to start transitioning to being a business owner who can't afford to be stuck putting out fires?
So that's also about trust, right? So it's about finding the people that we trust and being willing to let go. I'm there. I'm always there. I'm there with you. I was sharing right before we got on that I have somebody who does a lot of my social media, and she put the wrong time on the live feed, and we caught it, and it's no big deal. She's working with me forever. But, you know, that need to be on top of every detail, it allows you to work on your business rather than in your business. That's that phrase that people always say. And so, I mean, there's a lot of ways to approach this, but one thing is training your brain around saying we and our, and instead of I and my, because just training your brain around thinking that it is a team of service rather than an individual of service.
Mm.
But I also want to come back. There's so many things that you said around culture. Like, I'm loving this because, you know, this is a very interesting time, you know, global pandemic, everybody's working from home. I know things have been opening up where you are, but in the US, things are still relatively shut down in most states. And, you know, my husband's office is not going to be reopening until at the earliest January of 2021. He will be working from home for at least another 6 months.
Yeah.
So what I love about that is that you kind of see into my house now, right? And there's so many times I'm on a call and my dog comes in and pops into the screen and starts looking, you know, or, you know, I've had a kid that will come in and I'll be like, yeah, come on over here and say hello. So what we're doing is we are bringing people in and allowing people to see beyond this one little sliver of who we are. And I think that this can help create more open cultures, more connected leaders, because now we have accepted because we can see somebody's whole self. So I think there's a beauty to not all the illness that's happening, but what it might have as a long-term impact on what we feel comfortable sharing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like we've been a virtual team for, oh God, I don't even know how long now, like 5, 6, 7 years. I've got a team of 14 with this particular business and half of them in the Philippines. We've got an amazing culture and I feel more connected to them than anyone I've ever worked with before in my life. But I think, like, again, like I think a lot of it comes down to that aspect of vulnerability. Like I know who they are as people, like outside of the amazing job they do within the business. I know who they are as people. Like I know what their likes. I follow them all on social media. Like I see them hanging out with their partners and their kids and their families and doing their thing. It's a very interesting time. And I think that this pandemic has forced a huge evolution of human consciousness and connection in that. Because the other side of this too is it's like, you know, having had hugs taken away from us and all those human interactions, it's like there's almost a greater appreciation for when they've been given back.
You know, you mentioned hugs and one of my best friends was having a small medical procedure this week and she sat by my house and I came outside and I went like this. She's like, no. And I was like, oh, I forgot. We can't do that. You know, and it's hard. You know, I've been talking a lot about connected leaders. Mm. And we've been talking culture, but I think it comes down to the individual. And for Kathy, who is trying to lead her business and not just be a person in her business, really thinking about what you need to be for your people, for them to want to do anything for you, for them to work as hard for themselves as they would for you, or vice versa. You know what I meant? Yeah. And I do this talk and I go out to the audiences and I say, tell me about a leader that you had. So everybody who's listening right now, I want you to think about somebody in your life who has gotten the most out of you. It could have been a coach from a sports. It could have been a family member. It could have been a professional mentor. It could have been a manager. It doesn't matter where they were, but it's somebody who believed in you and helped you achieve. Mm. Now think about what it was that they did. You already know what it looks like to have a great person, I hope. Most people do. So then you want to think about, well, what are the things that I can learn and emulate, right? Mm. Not steal, but find my way to do them. Mm. And so connected leaders really only need to do two things. And how you do it is up to you. Number one, show your people you care about them as people, right? You just said, I know these people. Right? And number two, show your people you care about the things they care about. Mm-hmm. You do those two things in whatever way it makes sense for you, you will get not just raving customers, but you will get a loyal team.
Yeah. I remember at such a beautiful point, Rochelle, and I remember a mentor said to me once, he's like, you know, you look after your team and your team will look after your clients and in turn your clients will look after you as a business owner. And it's so true. I look back at my journey of being in business for the last 18, 19 years now, and I was a terrible leader for a long time. Like, I still had a lot to learn, but I reckon the last 12 months has been a significant shift and difference. And a lot of it's been around what we've spoken about here, like the authenticity, around the trust, around really getting inside and understanding what my team, like, what do they care about? What do they want? How can I help them to achieve that and connect that into the vision and the mission of the Game Changers business as well. You know, like if they can understand how, you know, achieving the vision of the company helps them achieve their own personal vision, there's a double buy-in there.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I used to coach faculty at NYU and there were a lot of PhD students that were teaching for the first time. And one of the things I said to them, and it really falls for all of your business leaders out there, is I said, your dinner conversation. I said, your students, your employees, they go home and they are talking about you at dinner. What do you want them to say about you? Mm. And that clarity of, here's how I want to be known as a leader. What's my leadership brand? Here's the identity of the culture of my company. Here's me personally. Like I do a talk called You the Brand. And at the end of the talk, I ask people to describe me. I let them say whatever they want. I tell them they don't have to be nice. Often they're not. and I learn a lot when they're not. And I know exactly what I want them to say. And there has never been a time. I always say, here's my three words. And by the way, if anybody wants this activity, there'll be a link. If you join my community, you get the activity for free. But helping develop what your three words are, I've done this thousands of times. I've never not gotten at least two of my three words. And I've gotten all three words over 90% of the time. That's the clarity, right?
Yeah.
Of understanding who you are and how you want to be known. And even if some people might read one word in a more negative connotation, if most people read that same kind of idea the right way, you're good because you're not going to win them all.
Yeah.
I know I wrote a book on likability, but I will tell you right now, you can't make people like you.
Yeah.
You can enable them to see what's likable about you because we're all likable.
Yeah. And aspects come back to their biases as well, like we spoke about before a bit as well. It's so funny. That's quite synchronistic, in sync with the question we just had come through from Alan. If you guys are watching live, please post your questions below. Hit the like button. Let us know that you're there. Alan from Sydney said a question from Michelle about social media. Social media can be toxic. Could you share social media habits?
Yes. I don't always follow all of my own habits, I'll be honest. I usually tell people to limit their number of platforms, but I'm struggling with limiting myself because my son wants me on Instagram and I'm trying. And I told him if he gets me to 1,000 followers on Instagram, I'd start paying him to help me. So you can help my son earn a few bucks this summer. But, you know, there's two things to think about with social media. One is, why are you on it? Right? So are you trying to connect with your customers? Are you trying to create community? Why are you there? And that might tell you which ones to be on, because each platform has its own personality. And for me, my favorite's LinkedIn. I'll be honest, anybody listening can connect to me on LinkedIn. Just tell me you heard me on the Game Changers with Barry, and you will get a response from me. 100%. If you send me a note, tell me where you heard me, I will connect with you and you'll get a response. And so I love that platform because I'm B2B, right? I tend to be B2B. But if you're B2C, you might be on Facebook. If you're a visual company, you might want to be on Pinterest or Instagram. So it really does depend. If you're a global company, Twitter is great for global reach. I've made connections on Twitter that I would have never made otherwise because that's where the conversation started. So it really is about understanding which one you want to be on. The other thing to think about with social media is that it's just one more connection point, but it should not be the only connection point.
Yeah.
You know, the more ways that you connect with somebody, you face-to-face, you have a phone, you have a Zoom, you have some social media, you like a post, that brings your name and that familiarity that we started this whole conversation with up in somebody's mind, and it builds trust. I actually referenced two people in my latest book, and by name. And after the book came out, and I sent a little note to Sean on LinkedIn, I said, you might recognize yourself on page 80 or 82 or whatever it was. And he's like, oh my God, never met him. I've never spoken to him on the phone. We are LinkedIn connections that have conversations via LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And because of that activity, I know his name. And if he did call me, I'd answer the phone. So social media, it's about why you're using it and who you want to connect with. But don't let it be all consuming. And one of the things I had to learn early on, when you do get reviews on your books, you know, I had a couple bad reviews on the 11 Laws of Likeability, and you want to respond. There's no payoff in doing that. You want to defend, you want to explain, right? If there's something that you can do for somebody, like they were upset about a product or a service and you can make it better, go for it. You will learn something from your customers.
Yeah.
But if it's somebody who you can't do anything about and they're being nasty, let it be. People shine the light on themselves, and it could either be, you know, the interrogation spotlight, or it could be, you know, like this warm light, and let them choose.
Yeah. Well, the beautiful sunlight I've got coming through my window here in Perth this morning. Michelle, this is a fantastic conversation. So a couple of questions for me. Number one is, how can people connect with you? What's the best way? Rafi's going to put some links below, but what's the best way people can connect with you and the amazing work that you're doing?
Well, the best place to find me and all the stuff I do is my website, which is michelletillisletterman.com. And the spelling will be there, but it's two L's and lots of L's in there. and from there, you can find my YouTube channel. I do some little, what I call success shorty videos. Yes, I mentioned I'm 4'10". It's a play on words. They're short little videos. I have a blog. I have all my social media links there. LinkedIn, as I said, is my favorite. If you Facebook me, it'll be the professional page because you're not going to see what this hair looked like in the 80s. It was big. you know, I do have a community. And if you want to get all those freebies, I have a gift pack, and it will probably be in the links below. And I can't wait to hear from all of you.
Outstanding. I've got one more question before I do too. If you want to stay up to date with this Freedom live stream series, there's some phenomenal guests. I've really, really enjoyed today's conversation. And we've got a bunch more in the lead up to the launch of my book, which is here, The Path to Freedom, The 9 Steps to Creating a Highly Profitable Business That Can Work Without You. We dive a lot in the early chapters around vision, mission, values, and kind of touch on Kathy's question there around being stuck putting out fires. And it really is around moving from the I to the we, creating a phenomenal culture. But also we do dive into systems, process, procedures, not so much sales and marketing. So it'd be a great book to buy alongside The Connector's Advantage or The 11 Laws of Likeability, I'm sure, as well. Rafi, put a link below. Put your details in. We can keep up to date with the launch of the book and the amazing bonuses we're doing and also the upcoming live stream session. But the last question I've got for you that I like to ask all my guests, Michelle, is that if you were to have a conversation, knowing all that you know now and having been through what you've been through, with a 10-year-old version of yourself, what advice would you give her?
I was very different. So being a little vulnerable, what I'll share is when I was 10 years old, my father had just left home and it was not a great time in my childhood. Like childhood ended at 8. And so I had a lot of anger. And what I would probably tell my 10-year-old self is to let the anger go, that you get more bees with honey. And a lot of those trite sayings are there for a reason. And if you make people want to say yes to you, you'll get yeses a lot more often. But if you make everything a fight, you'll lose more than you win.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Thanks for sharing.
Now you got me emotional.
Thank you for sharing. It's so incredible hearing everyone's different responses to that question as well.
And I didn't know it was coming, so you really caught me.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. The vulnerability. It's beautiful. Thank you, everyone who's taken time out of your day, whether you're in the morning, afternoon, evening, to watch this live right now or potentially sometime in the future on replay. Would love your support in getting more of these amazing interviews out to the world. So please hit the bottom button on the right, so start a watch party, share it across your feed. Hit the like button, let us know that you're enjoying these episodes. And equally too, like provide your feedback as well. Let us know what you're liking, what maybe what you're not liking, maybe even who you'd like to see on these shows as well. Michelle, thank you so much for your time this evening where you're calling in from in Jersey and this morning here in Perth, Australia. I'm so grateful for everything you had to share and I trust that it's made a huge impact on many people that watched today as well.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Andrew.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Game Changers podcast. There's a couple of things I'd love you to do to help us and help yourself to spread the message further. Make sure that you like the Game Changers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn. Please subscribe by clicking the link below to ensure that you keep up to date with the weekly episodes we share here at the Game Changers podcast with amazing entrepreneurs and business owners around the world. And of course, like if you're in a position where you may be overwhelmed with business or looking for a way to grow faster, more effectively, and you realize that the key to success is being surrounded by amazing people who have been there and done that before, I'd like to invite you to apply to have a game plan session one-on-one with one of my team here at The Game Changers. There's no cost. If you get through, all that we ask is that you are doing a minimum of $250,000 per year to really be able to utilize the strategies and tactics and the mindset shifts that we share with you, that you're coachable, that you're a decent person, and you're willing to take on board some advice. If not, that's totally cool. But I know for me, I wouldn't be where I'm right now without the support of so many mentors and coaches and resources along the way. And I'd like to pay that forwards and give back to you the opportunity to work with us one-on-one for free to put together a customized game plan. And the reason we're doing this is a couple of things. Number one is that sometimes it's just the smallest thing that can make the biggest difference. And I think that entrepreneurs and business owners have the opportunity to change the world. And if we can maybe help you to make the smallest shift to change your life and your world, you're changing ours in return. The second thing is that we are always looking for amazing clients to work with and to welcome into and invite into the Game Changers community. And so if at the end of the call, you do feel that there's a huge amount of value there, that we feel that there's a great values fit there, we can have a conversation about working together. But this game plan call, there's absolutely no obligations to work with whatsoever. Allow us to help you with the years and years and years of knowledge that we have in growing and scaling great companies. And I think that business owners are the future of the world. If there's a way that we can help you to create a better business, more profit, more fulfillment, more fun, I would love the opportunity to do that now. So click the link below, book your game plan session, make sure you follow us on social and start today with the latest episodes of the Game Changers podcast. My name's Barry William-McGinnity. Thank you so much for your support and look forward to seeing you next one. Bye for now.